Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This morning, I want to get into today's message simply entitled, Chosen by Jesus. And if you are a first-time guest, I want to make sure I get the chance to meet you. And if I've already met you, I want to ask you, give me another 30 seconds of your time. I'd love to put a gift in your hands on your way out the door this morning. I'll be in the lobby. I'd love to greet you. But this morning, I want to talk to you about this message called Chosen by Jesus. We're in the middle of a summer series entitled Encounters with Jesus. My hope is that this summer, before the summer's over, all of us have a personal encounter with Jesus. Not just a visit to church, not just a time where we sit down to pray or read the Word of God, as powerful that is, but you go a next step. You'll discover the Jesus of the Word of God, the Jesus of the church. You'll have a personal experience with Jesus. And today I want to preach this message, Chosen by Jesus. On television, there's this commercial, and I've forgotten what they're advertising, but there's this commercial with Charles Barkley in it. And he's on the playground with a few kids. If you don't know Charles Barkley, he's a retired NBA basketball player. He's on the playground with these, I don't know, four, five, six kids who are about to play some playground basketball, and they're choosing teams. And each kid has already chosen another kid to be on their team, and it's down to the last two people for them to pick through from, and it's Charles Barkley as one option and another kid as another option, and the person that has the next to last pick chooses Charles Barkley. And the moment Charles is chosen, he throws his hands up and he says, "Yeah, I still got it." You know, he's proud that he wasn't the last one to be chosen. How many know it stinks when you're the last one chosen? Have you ever been chosen last on the playground? Maybe you still have harmful memories from second grade when someone chose someone else. And you know, what's bad about being chosen last is you're not really chosen, right? You're just kind of, you're the person the team gets stuck with. Can I tell you, when it comes to the kingdom of God, Jesus was not stuck with you. He chose you. I want to say it again. He chose you. You're not an extra part. You're not someone that you know, hey, no one else will take me, so I guess I'll go to church. No, no, no. Jesus chooses people, and He has chosen to love you and to call you. He's chosen to use you this morning. Preacher, you don't understand. This is my first time to church ever. Can I tell you, before you walked in the door this morning, Jesus had already chosen to love you and redeem you and use you for His kingdom, use you for His purpose in a way that, if you'll allow Him, will blow your mind, church. So in Matthew chapter 4, we're going to look at this Jesus encounter. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I'll show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once, and they followed Him. A little farther up the shore, He saw two more brothers, James and John, sitting at a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And He called them to come too. And they immediately followed Him, leaving their boat and their father behind. Father, I love You this morning. I thank You for this word. We know the Word of God doesn't need any help. It doesn't need any anointing, because it's already God-breathed, God-inspired. It is Your very word. But Lord, we do need Your help. I need Your help this morning as the preacher to preach what You want heard. We need Your help, Holy Spirit of God, to be listeners of what Your Spirit is saying to us, Lord, through the Word, and even just to our spirit about the Word this morning. So help us both to hear and understand and respond to what the Holy Spirit is saying today. And we'll give You thanks. Everybody in the room said amen. I read this account and then I start wondering. You know, the Bible starts telling us that Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee, and He came across Peter and Peter and Andrew. He came across James and John, and I begin to wonder, was this happenstance? Was this on purpose, or was this coincidence? I mean, did Peter and Andrew just happen to be sitting there? Did that Jesus just happen to come across them? Or was it more like Jesus knew they were going to be there, and so he went out of their way, went out of his way to come across their life to impact and change their life forever? Friends, I believe the same God that said in the book of Psalms that before I knew you, I created you to be a user for him. The same God that said in Psalms that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. The one that said, I'm putting the details of your life together. He didn't just stop before you were born, but when you were born, he still had details and plans and works for you this morning. So I am completely convinced that when Jesus walked up to Peter and Andrew and to James and John, it wasn't happenstance. Jesus knew that they were going to be there. Some of you this morning, you walked in the door out of routine. You think you walked in the door this morning out of chance, but can I tell you, Jesus knew that you were going to be here this morning, and he showed up. The presence of God is here to change your life forever if you allow him to. Forever. Because you have been chosen by Jesus. You may not have even known that you've been chosen, but you've been chosen by God for an extraordinary life. You can look going down the line of when Jesus called other people. There's a guy by the name of Nathanael who was chosen by Jesus. Nathanael just doubted that anything good could come out of a person from Nazareth like Jesus. But Jesus said these words to Nathanael, I saw you while you were under the fig tree. I don't know exactly what Nathanael had been doing under that fig tree, but he knew. And it's evidence that Jesus saw Nathanael before Nathanael saw Jesus. And when Jesus walks up on the seashore that day, he had already seen, he knew Peter and Andrew were going to be there. He knew James and John were going to be there. Maybe you're in the room this morning and your life has never been transformed by Jesus. That does not mean that Jesus has not already seen your life and shown up today to transform you forever. Because he has. You've been chosen by Jesus. He's calling us. I said all that about this specific process of Jesus showing up in Peter's life, Andrew's life, James' life, John's life, Nathanael's life to say about this morning. He's shown up specifically today for your life because he has a strategic, intentional mission for you. Jesus is no less strategic about calling people today as he is, as he was in the past, as he is today. He is still calling people specifically to do all kinds of things for him, and that includes you. You have been chosen by God. I'm probably going to state that statement at least 39 times this morning because I hope when you leave today, you understand that you have been chosen by Jesus. You have been chosen by Jesus. Now I'm down to 37. You've been chosen by Jesus to be used by him in his kingdom today. You are not a spare part. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your family. You've got to realize, here's point one, you've been chosen by him. Now I'm down to like 35, right? Matthew 4, verse 18 says, Jesus showed up and he called these people, he called these men. But I want to tell you today, the call of Jesus is not just for a few. The call of Jesus is for everyone. You've been called to enter a relationship with him, but you've also been called to follow him. Following Jesus was not just about an abandonment of your possessions or your occupation. Listen, Jesus doesn't call all of us in the same way. I'll get to that in a minute. But he does call us all in some way. And so what we leave behind, it may not be what others have left behind. It's about us surrendering to following someone greater than ourselves, and that is Jesus. The choosing of God, the choosing of Jesus, it's universal in scope. He chooses all of us. It's only limited by our response to him. You know, Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God was poured out in the early church, we know the Holy Spirit was poured out for a purpose, that to enable followers of Jesus for service, that they could be greater witnesses and be effective ministers. And you'll notice in Acts chapter 2 that the Holy Spirit of God did not just fall upon one or two people. No, the Word says He fell upon all of them. Why? Because God had a work for all of them. I want to tell you this morning, the calling of God, that phrase, I know that's kind of mysterious to some people, the call of God. You hear that and you think, well, that's what preachers do, or that's what pastors do, or that's what staff members, they're the only ones that are called by God. But friends, can I tell you, if there's just a few people that are called by God, then the church of Jesus Christ is no match for the enemy. But friends, if we are all called by God equally, then the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? We have to understand we have all been called by God equally. The way God uses us may be differently, but the call is just as real. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says this, that He calls us and saves us to a holy calling. I don't know what God's called your life to be like or what God's called you to do, but I know this is holy. You know what that word holy means? It means, one of the definitions of it is this, it's uncommon. It's set apart. It's different. He's called you to be more than ordinary. It simply means this, there's no such thing as a common calling, an unimportant calling, or an unneeded calling. The call of God upon your life is holy. It doesn't matter whether God's called you to function as a deacon in the church, or a member of the worship team, or a life group leader, or a kids worker, or a youth worker, or a door greeter, or a van driver, or maybe God's call upon your life is to be a school teacher. Thank God for school teachers. I hope God gives us a flood of Spirit-filled, Bible convicted school teachers. I just pray our public school system is just overrun with Christians who will stand up and preach the or teach the Word of God. Some people say, well, you can't teach Christianity in school. You put a Christian teacher inside the public school, there's something that happens. The Spirit of God, this isn't the spiritual word, but it happens. It just oozes out of them into those kids in their room. Amen? So many of the great people in my life who were influencers, they didn't sit down and say, let me tell you this, that, and the other about God. No. They just lived their life for God. They just walked in who God told them to be. And in the process of them just responding to God's call and being who God's called them to be, whether it's in the church house or the marketplace, wherever it is, the goodness and the influence of Jesus pervaded my life. And they didn't even know it. They were just doing what God called. Let me just say it this way. There's certain specific statements the Lord gives me that I just write them down, so I'll make sure I give them to you the right way. This is one of those. The visibility of your gifting does not determine the value of your calling. Some of you think about your life and you think, well, I'm not as gifted as that person or the other person. I can't sing. I can't speak. I don't have this ability. I mean, I look at some of you guys, and some people's they're and some of you, I'm just gonna bust you out. Some of you are highly gifted, and you don't even recognize it yourself. But God has He calls us and He gifts us. Sometimes we elevate people because of their giftedness, because their giftedness is more visible. But friends, God calls us all to be faithful. No matter how visible our gifting and calling may be. So understand this morning, number one, you've been chosen by God. If you go home this morning and someone asks you what the preacher talk about, if you can't answer that question, I give up. You've been chosen by God. And so since you've been chosen by God, you have a call of God upon your life, for a purpose greater than your own purpose, we have to expect something. You have to expect that your calling will come at a cost. In both of these situations, we see that following Jesus cost them something. Now, not everyone who followed Jesus cost the same thing. But it all cost us something. I'll talk about those costs in a few minutes, because some of you, when you hear about price tags, you get nervous. But I'm like that. Is anyone in the room highly sensitive to cost? Well, you can raise your hand. I am. If I see a shirt on the rack that I like, I pick it up, and the first thing I do is I check the price. And I've discovered that price influences my decision-making. Right? I'll put it back. I think, ooh, put it back. And I've actually got this, it's not a spiritual gifting, but I've got this gifting. Whatever I like is the most expensive thing on the rack. You blindfold me, you drop me in a car lot, the truck I like, it will be the most expensive one. You drop me in a suit shop, the suit I like, it will be the most expensive one. But do I buy the most expensive one? No, because I've discovered price influences my choices. When it comes to following the call of God, we have to operate differently. We cannot let the price before us keep us from following Jesus. We got to follow Him no matter the cost. And Jesus didn't just say, follow me blindly. No, He wants us to count the cost. In Luke chapter 14, it says, whoever does not follow, who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciples. Which of you wishing to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost to see if he has the resources to complete it? Otherwise, if he lays the foundation, he'll be unable to finish the work. Everyone who sees it will ridicule him. Jesus didn't say, come and follow me, it'll be easy. Sometimes we preach that way. Maybe you've heard it preached that way. Just come and follow Jesus and peppermints will fall from the sky every day and your trees will grow money and, you know, your house will never need to be vacuumed and your kids will always be clean and your hair will never fall out. If you'll just follow Jesus, it's going to be wonderful. But can I tell you, I'm example A, it doesn't happen that way. Jesus said, but decide that you're going to follow me. Count the cost and believe that what you have to gain by following Jesus, all of us got to make the decision, not just one time, but all the time. We've all got to make the decision that following Jesus, no matter the cost, is better than what I would gain by not following Jesus. There's three costs we all have to fall. We all have to pay to follow Jesus. These aren't the only three costs, but they're the ones I'll talk to you about this morning. The first cost of following Jesus is the cost of what I'm going to call our personal comfort. Following Jesus will continually call us out of our comfort zone. It'll challenge us to give what we'd rather keep, to speak to people we'd rather avoid, love people we'd rather ignore, pray for people we'd rather not pray for, love people we'd rather stay away from. The call of God will call us to get out of our comfort zone. And friends, I like what David Platt said. He said, if we don't get out of our comfort zone, if we don't respond to, even despite the cost of following Jesus, the price of our non-discipleship is highest for those without Christ. In other words, my refusal to get out of my comfort zone and follow Jesus doesn't just affect me, it affects others. So I got to be willing to get past my personal comfort. And some of us, we like our comfort. Does anyone like comfort? I love comfort. I mean, I love my own bed. I love my own recliner. Two honest men in the room today. Man, I wish I'd never gotten a recliner, because now I know I'll never be without one. I love that. I don't want you to think I'm some weird person that doesn't like comfort. I love comfort. But I love the call of God more. I love and I desire what God can do through us more than just our personal comfort. And sometimes we think, well, you know, following Jesus is for those that don't have anything better to do. or I'll follow what God is speaking to my heart, the calling of God, when I'm a little bit less busy. But I discovered, I was doing kind of a survey this week and reading some different things, and I discovered that just about every person that God ever called was already busy when God called them. So for those of you that think, well, Pastor, I'm too busy for God to do anything in my life. Friends, can I tell you, God always called busy people to do something great for him. It's cost of comfort. Number two is the cost of conformity. Some of us, we like to fit in. We like to not stick out. Romans chapter 12 says this. It says, don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, who can change you from the inside out. Recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. See, the call of God in our lives should make us stick out from the rest of the world. We shouldn't blend in so easily. Jesus said these words about his followers, that we would be what? A city set up on a hill that cannot be hidden. We'll be light in the dark places. We'll be seasoned in a world that is seasonless. We'll be salt in a world that's lost its flavor. But friends, we have to replace our energy of fitting in with a new energy that is all about pleasing God. And friends, your job is not to stick out. Your job is to please Jesus. And when your priority is to please him, God will elevate you. You will shine like you never shined before. But in those moments, you've got to try not to dim it, not to hide it, but you've got to embrace it and let your life shine in dark places. Thirdly today, you've got to embrace the cost of community. And here's where the rubber meets the road. The first two, some of you are okay with. You know, I don't mind giving up my comfort. I don't mind being my own person. I don't mind standing alone. But here's the third thing. Following Jesus sometimes will cost you your community. And what I mean by community, I mean is your friendships. Following Jesus, if it doesn't cost you some friendships, it will absolutely redefine some friendships. Hello? I'm not telling you to forsake your friends, to be a jerk and just disappear from your friends. But I'm telling you, following Jesus is going to require some things out of you that other people are going to be uncomfortable with. 1 Peter chapter 4 says that you've spent enough time in the past carrying out the same desires as the Gentiles, or as people that are not of the family of God, in a nutshell. But here's what it says, is that they consider it strange that you don't plunge into them with the same flood of reckless indiscretion, and they heap abuse upon you. Why? Because you decided that my life is worth more than what it used to be lived for. My life, I've been chosen by God, and so whatever that costs me, I'm willing to pay. And friends, when you make that decision, not everyone in your life will clap their hands for you. But in that moment, understand God is clapping his hands for you. Amen? And we got to understand that we're living for the applause of heaven and not the applause of earth. You've been chosen, so be willing to pay the price. Be willing to follow continually. You'll notice that Jesus didn't invite them to a weekend retreat. He invited them to a lifestyle of serving him, a lifestyle of following him, a lifelong process of becoming like him. And by the way, Jesus has chosen you and I into a lifetime process of becoming more and more like him. By the grace of God, I'm not what I used to be. But friends, by the grace of God, I'm also not all I'm gonna be. Why? Because he's still working on me, and he's still working on you, and he's called you and me. He's called all of us to follow him and allow him to continually change our life. John chapter 6, verse number 66, there was a moment. The word says this in John 6:66. It says there's a moment when many people stopped following Jesus. I don't know if it went from 1,000 people traveling with Jesus down to 70. I went from 70 people traveling with Jesus down to 12. I'm not sure what sort of mass exodus there was in this moment. Jesus is basically raising the bar a little bit on what it means to follow him. And Jesus could tell that some of the disciples were bothered by the fact that not everyone was walking with them, that used to walk with them. And Jesus, knowing what they were thinking, asked this question: what about you? Do you want to leave too? So many other people are walking away from following me. Do you want to walk away too? And Peter spoke up and he said, Lord, where would we go? You alone have the words of life. See, Peter was basically saying, we've decided that you've chosen us, so we're going to choose to follow you no matter the cost. Fourth this morning, Megan, if you want to come, I would challenge you to embrace transformation as a lifestyle. Jesus has chosen you. And some of you are sitting there when I said that statement, oh, that's a great thing to say to church, but you don't know who I am, pastor. You don't know what I've done, preacher. You don't know the lifestyle that I'm in. Some of you are thinking that I don't know. Some of you are thinking your spouse doesn't know, your best friends don't know. Some of you are living a secret life of sin that no one knows about, and you're thinking it's disqualified you from everything that God wants to do in you. Friends, can I tell you, when Jesus calls people, he doesn't call them just because they've got their stuff together. No, he sees them in their deepest, their darkest mire of life, and despite all of the grossness that he sees, he calls them anyway. Why? Because he's not calling them to stay there. He's calling them to life change. He's calling them to pull them out of there and into a life they've never experienced before. I love what the King James Version says. I love it the best. When Jesus called those guys to follow him, the King James Version uses this phrase: follow me and I will make you into fishers of men. I love that. I'm going to make you. Because when he says that phrase, it kind of lines up with the Old Testament phase of God being the potter and we're the clay, how he can just mold us however he wants to. When Jesus says, follow me, I'm going to make you. I'm going to put my hands on you. I'm going to form you. I'm going to do something in you that you thought was impossible, what others have declared that is impossible, things that you think can't be changed. I can change if you will simply say, Lord, I know you've chosen me, and so I'm going to submit to every transformation, every change that you want to make in me. I will submit to it. See, the call of Jesus is what turned fishermen into bold preachers. It's what turned prostitutes into women of honor. It's what changed tax collectors into generous givers. It's what turned religious leaders and to sacrificial lovers of the church. I'm just telling you, your past is no match for the future that Jesus has for you. You've been chosen to receive grace and transformation from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 kind of reminds us. Let me just talk to all the church people in the room for a minute. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 says, remember, brothers and sisters, of what you were when you were first called. Not many of you are noble, Scripture says. Not many of you are wise according to human wisdom. But he goes on to say that God has chosen the lowly things of the world. He's chosen the weak things of the world. He's chosen the foolish things of the world to despise those who are wise in their own eyes, so that no one can boast in Jesus. Paul simply highlighting that there's been a transformation point in every follower of Jesus who started following Jesus and who continued to follow Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning, so you don't misunderstand me, Jesus has not called you into behavior modification, or at least not behavior modification only. He's called you into transformation. Transformation is from the inside out. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll close with this, says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. I want to say it one more time. You've been chosen by God. You've been called by God. And by the way, the call of God is never about tomorrow. The call of God is never about the opportunity of tomorrow. It's always about the opportunity you have today. It may include the opportunities about tomorrow, but it always starts with the opportunities you have today. Today, the greatest opportunity you have is to start following Jesus. If you're not following him, these disciples, at least one of them, we know Andrew had at least heard about Jesus. We know Andrew was present the day that Jesus was baptized, about 45 or 50 days before this encounter on the seashore with Jesus. So they'd had over a month or so, I'm sure, as two brothers to decide, what do we really think about Jesus? Is he really the Messiah? Is he really the Savior of the world? Is he really the one we should live our lives for? And when Jesus showed up on the shore that day and he chose them, they decided in a moment what they had perhaps been contemplating for a month or more. Today, with every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe you've been contemplating surrendering your life to Jesus for a month. Maybe you've contemplated it for a year. Maybe you've contemplated it for a long season. Or maybe today this is your first time that you've really just sensed the Spirit of God tug on your heart saying, hey, today is the day you need to give your life to Jesus. And just in this private moment right now, no one look around and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I've heard about him. Maybe you have or not. But I need to move beyond hearing about him. I need to start following him with my life, surrendering my lifestyle to him in every way that he would speak to me to do so. If that's you this morning, would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. I'm making that decision this morning to follow Jesus. Amen. Secondly, church, this morning, I want to ask you to look at me real quick. Thanks for that private moment so people could respond without fear of what other people are going to think. But here's my last challenge of the day. Two things. Number one, evaluate the reality. Evaluate your knowledge of this truth that you have been chosen by God. Have you really digested that? See, the moment you digest that, it changes things. You understand that my life is more than just what I feel like doing or what's comfortable to me. All of a sudden, my life, it takes on a, there's a new demand upon my life. Now I've got to do what pleases God, not what pleases me. Now I've got to do what my convictions from the Word of God says, not what my conveniences and my comfort says. It changes me because I've been called to be and become and to do more than what my life is about. So my final challenge to us this morning as a church is to evaluate that you are a called person of God and then value that calling. Value it. Don't discard it. Don't compare it to someone else. Some in this room, I thought about walking from chair to chair this morning. Just begin to explain to some of you some of the calling that I see on your life as evident, not because I'm the one that called you, but just because some of you I've been seeing function for 3 or 4 years now, and the calling of God is evident, and many of you are operating it, and I'm wondering, do you even understand you're operating in it? Value. Evaluate and value that you have been chosen by God. So I'm just going to close the service today with this prayer. God, help us to value the value you've placed in us. Help us realize that you've called us to be more than what we are in ourselves. You've called us to be the people of God. You've called us to represent you. And you've given us the ability to represent you well. Because we're not just random people. We're chosen people. We're not just ordinary people. We're called people. Called to follow you. Called to serve you. Called to experience you. Called to a life that's beyond anything we've ever lived before. So help us respond to that. Father, I just pray over the people today. God, I pray this morning that they would, that we, each of us, we would evaluate, be grateful for, and value the fact that we've been chosen by you. You've chosen us as individuals. You've chosen us as families. You've chosen us as a church to be more than just about ourselves, to be about you, to display not just our greatness, but Lord, display your greatness, which truly is great. So God, I pray today we'll leave this place committed to you, committed to following you, committed to obeying you, committing to allowing you to transform us to be more like you, no matter the cost. Because Lord, it's not about a one day
one day thing. It's about being a lifelong person that is allowing you to daily transform us into your image. So I pray that over every person in this room today, let us realize we've been called, we've been chosen, that you have a plan and a purpose for us. And let us run with fervency and run with passion to get it on what you're up to for our life. And we'll give you thanks for that. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for his word today? We love you, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Hey, you've been chosen by God today. If no one's told you that today, let me be the first to tell you.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.